بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم لا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على سيدنا ونبينا أبي القاسم المصطفى محمد وعلى آله الطيبين الطاهرين لا سيما بقية الله في الأرضين عجل الله تعالى فرجه الشريف وجعلنا من أعوانه وأنصاره السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين ورحمة الله وبركاته Imam Hussein alayhi salam, according to what we find in Dua Arafah, thank you, says, Ilahi man kanat mahasinuhu masawi, fa kayfa la takunu masawihi masawi. My Lord, the one whose good actions are bad. After careful consideration, you find the good actions are not even that good. So, what about the bad actions that he has? How they cannot be bad? This is what we discussed last night. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ حَقَائِقُهُ دَعَاوِي فَكَيْفَ لَا تَكُونُ دَعَاوِيهِ دَعَاوِي. And the one whose true statements are claims. So what about his claims? How they are not just claims? We in our lives make lots of statements or make promises. Salaam alaikum wa rahmatullah. Unfortunately, in many cases, what we say is not necessarily true. For example, if we give a promise, we make a promise, sometimes the intention is just to please that person at that moment. I don't have really determination to keep my promise. For example, someone says, please help me with this. I say, okay. Especially, unfortunately, sometimes, you know, we just say, inshallah. And when we say inshallah, in many cases, it shows that you don't want to do it. Which is not the case. Inshallah is when you want to do it 100% and you ask Allah for help. Because Allah says, وَلَا تَقُولَنَّ لِشَيْءٍ إِنِّي فَاعِلٌ ذَلِكَ غَدًا إِلَّا أَنْ يَشَاءَ اللَّهُ. When you want to do something, don't say, I will do it definitely, because you have limitations. Always say, God willing. But now, sometimes we have taken this as a kind of loophole. So when you don't want to do something, you say, inshallah. And if you don't do it, you can say then Allah didn't want. So it's a kind of way to escape. A mu'min, when he makes a promise, he will try to keep his promise. When he makes an appointment, he tries to keep his appointment. One of the qualities of Prophet Ismail was he was sadiqul wa'd. If he was making a promise, an appointment, he was keeping it, even if it was very difficult for him. A mu'min always must think first, if I can do it, then I make commitment. If I cannot do it, don't give any commitment. Unfortunately, the result of our lack of commitment to our promises is that then you cannot plan. People tell you before you start a project, we are going to help you. Then after you start, unfortunately they disappear. They never show up. So it's like the people of Kufa who said, we are with you, O Hussein, but then they all disappeared. And even sometimes they turn enemies. Therefore, a mu'min must always think first, check first, and then make a promise. Even to the children. Don't say, this is my child. It's not, you know, someone, for example, a stranger or outsider. It's my child, I can be lenient with making promises. No. Hadith says, أَحِبُّ السَّبِيَانُ وَارْحَمُوهُمْ وَإِذَا وَعَدْتُمُوهُمْ فَفُوا لَهُمْ. Love children. Be kind and merciful with your children. And when you promise to do something for them, you must keep your promise. If you say, I'm going to buy a bicycle, for example, for you, so you must buy. If you say, if you get good result, I'm going to do this for you, you must keep your promise. Don't say he's a child and he will forget. No, Allah will not forget. You have made this promise, you must keep your promise. So, unfortunately, sometimes either we don't have the intention of keeping our promise and we just keep our promise, or sometimes we have the intention but we are not careful. In both cases, the result is that the promises are not kept. Then it comes to statements. Sometimes we say something which we know it's not true, but because of my some interest, I don't mind to tell the lies. By telling lies, I try to achieve something, which is wrong. You can never achieve in the long term by being a liar. And najatu fis-sidq, honesty is the best policy. But unfortunately, sometimes we are short-sighted. We think that if we tell a lie, we get it very quickly. Okay, don't you know that the whole world, whole creation is based on truth and honesty? In the long term, you can never get away with dishonesty. Sooner or later, people will realize. Sooner or later, you will fail. If you have the vision, you will realize that it's only honesty which will work. So, we have to avoid being dishonest in our statements. Sometimes people say, we don't tell lies. This is what I have heard. This is, again, lack of honesty. There's a famous Arabic proverb which says, كفى بالمرء كذبا أن يحدث بكل ما سمع. It's enough for a man to be a liar when he says whatever he hears. When you listen to people and then tell it to other people without investigation, so you become a liar. Why? Because many things that people say are rumors. Many of them have no basis. You have responsibility not to repeat what people say unless you evaluate. First of all, is it true or not? Second, is it right for me to say this or not? If it is not true, or if it is true, but it's not right for you to say this. For example, it is about something private. Something someone has done and he doesn't want anyone to know. You cannot say it. This becomes backbiting. This is damaging the reputation of a mu'min. So you have to investigate first. Is it true or not? Second, is it right and appropriate for me to say it or not? Then you can say. Otherwise, if you hear something, or if you read, sometimes people think that if they read something on internet or in a newspaper, this is a hujjah. It's not hujjah. They put everything there. Lots of, you know, baseless ideas are there. You have to investigate. You have to inquire. If this is backed up by evidence, by proof, and also if it is good thing to say, you say it. Otherwise, you don't say it. So, This is another problem, that sometimes without even our own attention, without our own intention, we say lies, we tell lies, we spread rumors, we damage reputations of people. This is another problem. Sometimes even this happens with respect to our faith. Sometimes we say something about Islam, we say something about the school of Ahlul Bayt without proper knowledge. I say something which is not true, something which is not accepted and verified by ulama. And then I say, this is what my mazhab says, this is what my, you know, religion says. This is also a very bad lie. Indeed, this is not a personal, it's a social, communal lie, which would damage the whole community. Sometimes I unfortunately say something that may be true, but something which is not right to be disclosed, not right to be publicized. Like a family. In family, there are certain things that you have to keep it inside the family. For example, last night we didn't have anything to eat. Shall I come here on the minbar and say, last night we didn't have anything to eat? Or maybe I had a little fight with my husband or wife. Shall I come and say to everyone? There are certain issues which are to be kept private. There are certain issues that are only to be kept for the community. Either some of the problems that we have inside, or maybe some of the truths that other people cannot understand it. They will misunderstand. It's for us. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam, says that it is not enough for being a believer in our teachings to just accept. It's not enough. You say, I accept whatever Imam Sadiq says. This is not enough. A big requirement is, in addition to acceptance, is siyanatuhu wa kitmanuhu min ghayra ahlih, is to protect it and hide it from the people who are not supposed to know. There are certain issues that if we let everyone know without having proper information, proper, you know, understanding, knowing the prerequisite, they will use that against us. Those have to be kept among ourselves. So, Imam says, you have to protect it from people who are not supposed to know. Then he says, وَاللَّهِ مَنْ نَاصِبُ لَنَا حَرْبًا بَأَشَدَّ عَلَيْنَا مِنَ النَّاطِقِ بِمَا نَكْرَحُهُ. By Allah, Imam Sadiq alayhi salam doesn't need to use qasam or swear by Allah, but unfortunately, we don't take these things seriously. So he says, Wallah, by Allah, the one who fights against us, and nasib lana harban, means who initiates war against us, who takes his sword and wants to kill us. Imam says, he is not troubling us more than the people who speak on our behalf something that we don't want to be said. Wallahi man nasibu lana harban ba'ashadda alayna ma'unatan min an-natiq bima nakrahu. So there may be a Shia who says something that Imam Sadiq doesn't want to be said, either because it is not true or it is true, but it's not supposed to be disclosed, to be publicized, to be said to everyone. Imam said, this Shia is causing more trouble for us than the one who wants to kill us. Imagine then on the day of judgment, what happens to this Shia? He thinks he is going to be thanked, he is going to be rewarded, but then Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam says, you are our enemy. You are worse than Yazid and Ma'mun and Harun who have killed us. Because they have killed us and this has brought honor to us. You have been careless in the way you communicated and you have brought shame to our mazhab. Which one is worse? The one who kills and takes your physical life, or the one who destroys your mazhab, even in the name of being a Shia? So we have to be very careful. We have to be following strict guidelines which are given by Imams alayhim salam and explained by our ulama. So a mu'min cannot speak whatever he wants to say. He's very sophisticated. You have to make sure this is true. You have to make sure that this is appropriate. Because sometimes something is true but not appropriate. For example, you know, if someone's child has just got killed in an accident, can I say without any preparation, I say to the mother, your child, you know, got killed? She will have heart attack. I have to prepare her. I have to take, you know, few minutes to prepare her for this news. So everything which is right cannot be said. There are certain things that I must not say because that person may be offended. Certain things must not be said by me. Maybe I can ask an elder person to say, or someone closer to that person. So there are many, many things to take into account. There are many etiquettes. It's not just what is right, everyone can say it. So a mu'min is the one who tries to be very careful about his promises, about his statements. This is in addition to the actions. Normally we think more about actions, but we don't know that the words are very powerful. Sometimes a word can be much more powerful than an action. By one word, you can damage someone. Sometimes people spread a rumor about a person, they finish the future of this person. He cannot do anything. We have to be very careful. A person asked Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam, أخبرني بجميع شرائع الدين. Oh Imam, please inform me about all the requirements of Sharia, all the requirements of Islam, all the things that as a believer I have to do. Jami'a, all of them. It's a very difficult question. It needs hundreds of pages if you want to explain all the requirements. But Imam Zainul Abidin alayhi salam mentioned 3 points which are the basis, the roots, the foundations. If these are there in place, everything else will come. If these are not there, nothing will work. Imam alayhi salam said 3 things. 1, qawlul haq, to speak the truth, to tell what is right and true. This is one thing. وَالْحُكْمُ بِالْعَدْلِ, when you judge, judge according to justice. Sometimes we think to judge is when you are in the court. No, to judge can be in any circumstances. Sometimes, you know, two children, you know, come to me and say, you know, we have a disagreement, judge among us. Sometimes a husband and wife have a problem, I want to judge between them. Sometimes I want to judge between myself and another person. You don't need to be a judge, you know, in the court.
any judgment that you make. You say, you know, my mother cooks better than you. This is a judgment. Any judgment that you want to make, you have to observe justice. You want to judge between two people, which one is better in serving, for example, the community. You want to vote. Justice. Don't say, this is my brother, this is my cousin, we come from the same village. This justice is very important. So, قول الحق والحكم بالعدل والوفاء بالعهد. Keep your promise. If you keep your promise, you judge according to the requirements of justice, you tell what is right and appropriate, you have acted according to Islam. This is jami'u shara'i' ad-din. Then your salat will be the best salat. Your fasting will be the best fasting. Your hajj, your ziyarah, your charity, your family life, your community life. Everything will be okay. But if there is no honesty, if we tell, you know, whatever we wish, whatever, you know, is suits us, if we don't keep our promises, if we judge according to our selfish interests, nothing works. This person's salat is not working. This person's salat is not functioning. Fasting not functioning. So this is to evaluate ourselves, to evaluate our community. Are we people who are committed to the truth, to honesty, trustworthiness, or not? If we don't have these qualities, so we have big problem. If we have these qualities, alhamdulillah. So now we are on the right track, and day by day we get closer and closer to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam here says to Allah, O Allah, many of the things that we say and we honestly try to say, still we cannot 100% fulfill the requirements of what we say. So what about those things that are just claims? So it means that after examination of our statements and our promises, we become very suspicious about ourselves. It's very easy to say, I am mu'min. Very easy. Even sometimes, you know, if people ask me, for example, are you a mu'min? I feel offended. What do you say? I am mu'min. Of course I am mu'min. Look at my beard. Look at my name. Everything shows I am a mu'min. But this is not as easy as this. قالت الأعراب آمنا قل لم تؤمنوا ولكن قولوا أسلمنا ولما يدخل الإيمان في قلوبكم. They said, we are believers. Allah says, you are not believers. You are just Muslims. Because Iman has not reached your heart. If Iman goes into someone's heart, then that person becomes honest. That person becomes humble. That person becomes kind. Becomes generous. How is it possible that Allah is in your heart, Iman is in your heart, then you do bad things? If you put a good pilot inside the cabin, then the plane should go the right direction. If you put good commanders in the command room, in the control room, then all the decisions must be right. How is it possible that you say, Allah is in my heart, Iman is my heart, but then you say whatever you wish, you do whatever you wish? This doesn't make sense. If there is light, if there is love for Allah, if there is knowledge for Allah in my heart, it would show itself in my words, in my actions, without any doubt. So we have to be very careful about honesty. One of the things that we find in the story of Karbala is this distinction between truth and claim. Just claim. Just to say that I am a mu'min. Just to say that I am a Shia. When life is normal, when there are no problems, the difference is not clear. When the test comes, when people are challenged, then you see the difference. When you are going with someone to, for example, Paris, or I don't know, Switzerland, everything is going nicely, you don't find that much whether this person has good akhlaq or not. But when you go to Hajj, and sometimes for several hours you are stuck in bus, then you see whether this person is patient or not. By going for a skiing in Switzerland, you don't realize. When you are in honeymoon, you don't realize how good is that person. But when honeymoon is over and problems start, there is not enough income, we have children, we don't have good house, problem with in-laws, then you realize whether your husband or wife is a good one or not. When things are normal, everyone has learned how to cover himself or herself. But if you challenge them and change the condition, then you see that no, this person is not that good that he looked or she looked. Imam Hussein alayhi salam says, "An-nas abidu ad-dunya wa ad-din la'iqun 'ala al-sinatihim." People are serving dunya. They use religion as a toy. They repeat the name of religion and Islam on their tongue. It's like a toy. As long as religion suits them, they are religious. But فَإِذَا مُحْهَسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ. But when they are tested and challenged, قَلَّ الدَّيَّانُ. Those who are religious are very few, very little. When it's a matter of praying and fasting and ziyara and azadari, he is a religious person. But when he has a problem in family, you see the same religious person acts worse than shimr. Sometimes doesn't bother to destroy the whole life of his wife or her husband. This, how can a Shia not think about the consequences of my action? And something that I want to mention also is, just in brackets, sometimes maybe it's because lack of experience also. Sometimes people try to be kind to their parents, which is very good. But then they do zulm to their wife. I have heard many cases that the son wants to be kind to the parents, which is very good, doesn't know how to do it. So whatever the parents tell, he does it. Even if they say, divorce your wife, he does it. Put your life in this condition, demand too much from her, he does it. This is zulm. You have to learn how to be kind with your parents and at the same time be fair to your wife. You cannot do zulm. How can a Shia do zulm to his wife? You cannot do zulm even to an enemy. Allah says, "La yajrimannakum shana'anu qawman ala an la ta'adalu." Even don't let hostility make you unjust to your enemies. Sometimes people do zulm. Don't you think that this girl who has married to you, all her future lies in this marriage? I'm not saying always men are responsible, but there are times that a man is responsible. And you see that this person is good mu'min, you can see the sign of sajda in his forehead. But unfortunately, when it comes to family issues, even in basic things, there is a problem. we have to be very careful not to do zulm to anyone. Especially the people who have no helper other than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If you do zulm to a person who can fight you back, this is easy. Of course, zulm is always bad, but at least this person can fight you back. But إِيَّاكَ وَظُلْمَ مَنْ لَا يَجْدُ عَلَيْكَ نَاصِرًا إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Be very careful not to do zulm to someone who doesn't have any helper other than Allah. You break her heart, she has no one to help. No family maybe here, no one to support. But Allah is there. Without you understanding, Allah will damage you, make you suffer. Everyone has to be very careful about this issue of justice, this issue of fairness. So, فَإِذَا مُحْسُوا بِالْبَلَىٰ, when they are tested and challenged and difficulties come up, فَغَلَّ الدَّيَّانُونَ, then the people who are really faithful are little. Those who are claiming, okay, when things are normal, they are not tested, they look very nice. When they are tested, many of the people who didn't help Imam Hussein alayhi salam, even many of those people who went to the battle, if they had died 1 year, 2 years earlier, maybe they had no problem. Many of them were Shia. If they had died 2 years before this big test, they would have died as a normal person. But when the test came, then everything changed. Now you cannot go back to the same condition. Like Shaitan. Shaitan worshipped Allah for 6,000 years. If he had died 1 year before the test, everything was good. Of course, there were problems inside, but that problem was not causing big damage. But when the test came, then all 6,000 years were damaged. So much so that he left no place for return for himself. Said, وَعِزَّتِكَ, by your honor and dignity, لَأُغْوِيَنَّهُمْ, I am going to deceive all of them. He didn't leave any chance for himself to return. Even he made vow to deceive everyone else. So, when the people are tested, it's very difficult. This is why we see that in Ziyarat Ashura, for example, in two places, we ask to have a truthful, honest standpoint with Imam Hussein. We don't want just to claim. For example, in one place we say, فَأَسْأَلُ اللَّهَ الَّذِي أَكْرَمَنِي بِمَعْرِفَتِكُمْ وَمَعْرِفَةِ أَوْلِيَائِكُمْ أَنْ يَجْعَلَنِي مَعْكُمْ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ وَأَنْ يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. I don't want just to be with you physically, because this is not working. There are many people who are physically with you, but after some time they leave you. I want to have a very firm, honest standpoint. يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ. قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ means truthful, honest standpoint. يُثَبِّتَ means to be firm. So, we want to be honest and we want to remain honest. Sometimes you are not honest. Sometimes you are honest, but this is not going to endure. We want to have firm, honest standpoint with Imam Hussein alayhi salam and Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam.
Allah.
يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. This is to be achieved in dunya and then will remain inshallah in akhirah. You cannot achieve it in akhirah. You must achieve it in dunya. There is no possibility of achieving something in akhirah if you have not worked for it in dunya. In dunya, we should have this firm, honest standpoint with Imam Hussein and Ahlul Bayt so that we can have it in akhirah. If we are not honest, or if we are honest but we don't preserve and safeguard this honesty, then we turn into enemies of Ahlul Bayt alayhimus salam. Na'uzu billah. But this is something that has happened in history. Who betrayed prophets? If you read the history of the lives of the prophets, you find the greatest harm was made to them by the people who claimed to be loyal, to be their believers. An outsider only can do little harm. But those who can damage and destroy your message are the insiders. Those who can totally change the whole idea that you have presented are the insiders. And this is why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said on the day of Qadir, Al-Yawm Ya'isa Alladheena Kafaru Fala Takhshawhum Wakhshawhum. Today, those who have no faith have lost their hope. They are despaired. They cannot harm you. Don't fear them. Fear me. Our ulama have a very beautiful point here. Why does Allah says, don't fear kuffar, fear me? فَلَا تَخْشَوْهُمْ وَخْشَوْهُمْ. It means that don't have fear of enemies, kuffar. They cannot do anything. Fear that you yourself may do something, that then I take away my ni'mah from you. A kafir cannot harm you. But you yourself may do something that I then punish you by taking away the ni'mah from you. So it's very important to be honest, to be truthful, and try to remain honest and truthful. And يُثَبِّتَ لِي عِنْدَكُمْ قَدَمَ صِدْقٍ فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةِ. A second place is at the end of ziyarah. When you go to sajda, again you ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give you few things. One of them is, O Allah, give me qadama sidqin indaka ma'al Husayn alayhi salam wa ashab al Husayn alladhina badalu muhajjahum dun al Husayn alayhi salam. I want to have an honest, truthful position with Hussein and the companions of Hussein. Look at the shift. In the first place was qadama sidqin, a truthful position with Ahlul Bayt. Now ashab of Hussein are added. Because they were very honest and truthful, now we say, I want a standpoint to be truthful with Ahlul Bayt and Ashab Hussein. So they have managed to get into the circle of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. To be with them is like to be with Hussein. Why? Because they were honest with Hussein. They were truthful. You have heard this famous sentence from Imam Hussein alayhi salam in the night of Ashura, when Imam alayhi salam told them about what is going to happen and said that you can go and save your life. Even to encourage them, he said, take some of my family members with you, some of the ladies and children. And they said, by no means we are going to leave you. Then Imam Hussein alayhi salam said, this is the exactly the word of Imam as we have فَإِنِّي لَا أَعْلَمُ أَصْحَابًا أَوْفَى وَلَا خَيْرًا مِنْ أَصْحَابِ. Imam Hussein said, I don't know of any companions more loyal and better than my companions. وَلَا أَهْلَ بَيْتٍ أَبَرَّ وَلَا أَوْصَلْ مِنْ أَهْلَ بَيْتِ. And I don't know any household, any family to be more kind and more concerned about kinships, doing sele rahim, than my family. Imam Hussein alayhi salam doesn't exaggerate. He's an imam. He doesn't say something because he's very excited. When he says, I don't know of any companions more loyal than my companions, this is the truth. Because these companions of Imam were in very, very difficult time. It was difficult from different aspects. Not only it was difficult because they had to fight. Many companions have fought. Even the companions of Imam Ali alayhi salam took part in 3 battles. So he knows companions of his father. But when he looks at his companions and compares them as a whole to companions of his father or prophet or any other prophets in the past, he finds that his companions are really honest and truthful, without exception. It's not that some bad people, dishonest people have penetrated, some hypocrites have penetrated, some people for worldly gain have penetrated. There is no chance of victory. There is no chance of even being able to save your life. Normally, in most difficult battles, it was not that everyone was killed. Even if you imagine the battle of Badr, which was very difficult, only 313 Muslims, but it was not that everyone was killed. Many people survived. This was a battle that there was no chance of victory. This was a battle that you knew that even you cannot save the life of Imam. You know? So if someone was after some excuse, he could have said, Imam is going to be killed anyway. Whether I'm here or not is not going to make any change. So let me save my life. Let me support my family. There was nothing there for them to keep them there except loyalty. Except love for Hussein. And that was in a time which was very difficult. It was very confusing. Because imagine the whole Muslim world is on one side, either they are against you or indifferent, and only you are few people. If your iman is not strong, you start doubting. Maybe we are wrong. Why even many great companions of the Prophet are not taking part in this battle? Why everyone has left Hussein? You know, it really brings doubts to your mind if you are not certain. If you have not achieved certainty, if you don't have 100% faith, you start doubting. Many of us, if we are put in a condition that we are only, for example, few people and millions of people have another understanding, we start doubting. Maybe we have misunderstood. Maybe what we are doing is wrong. These people were so certain that nothing made them doubt. Nothing made them leave Imam alayhi salam. So Imam gives them this certificate that I don't know of any companion more loyal than my companions. As a whole, we are not talking about every single, because sometimes maybe one companion of Rasulullah is better than one companion of Imam Ali or Imam Hussein. But as a whole, as a team, this is the best team. And they are so honored by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that no one can make distinction, no one can separate them from Hussein. In dunya and akhirah, they will always be with Hussein. Even if you want to send salam to Imam Hussein, you have to send salam to them as well. If you want to be resurrected with Imam Hussein, you have to be resurrected with them. Even when you pray to have good position with Imam Hussein, you say, مَعَ الْحُسَيْنِ وَأَصْحَابِ الْحُسَيْنِ. So they have connected themselves to Imam. One of ulama was thinking, the famous story you must have heard. He was thinking, why Imam has said this? Maybe this is not from Imam. Maybe this is not authentic. Because what they did was something that every Shia who is put in that condition would have done. Because he himself was a lover of Ahlul Bayt, a great alim, so he thought, even if we were put in that condition, we would have done the same thing. Then he had a dream. He had a dream of the day of Ashura. And in that dream, Imam told him, I want to say my prayer. So please stand in front of me so that I can say my prayer and enemies don't stop me by shooting arrows to me. So he says, I said, yes, of course. Whatever I can do for you, I will do it for you. But this is before being tested. So he says, Imam started his prayer and I was standing in front of Imam. Then I saw an arrow is coming. When it was near me, I bent. It hit Imam. So I said, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayhi. What a bad thing I did. I felt very ashamed of myself. So I stood again. And this time I said, I'm not going, you know, to bend again. The second arrow came, I did the same. Four times I did the same. Then he says, in my dream, Imam Hussein alayhi salam smiled at me and said, I don't know of any companions more loyal than my companions. So I realized that it's easy to say, but if you are put in that condition, is another thing, another story. So what we really need is honesty and truthfulness. It starts with honesty in your words, in your promises, but then this must be spread to all aspects of your life. Your life must be life of honesty. Your life must be life of truthfulness. So that you become one of the people that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, they are the people that Allah has bestowed His blessing upon them. Those who are an'amta alayhim, Allah says, مَنْ يُتَعَ اللَّهَ وَالرَّسُولِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِمْ مِنَ النَّبِيِّينَ وَالشُّهَدَاءِ وَالصِّدِّيقِينَ وَالصَّالِحِينَ. If you want to be one of them, to be Siddiq qualifies you to be one of those people. Siddiq. Truthful. In everything. Your words, your promises, your intentions, your thoughts, your actions, everything is in harmony with Haq. Who is Sadiq? Who is Siddiq? The one who is committed to Haq. If you adjust yourself according to Haq, then you have Siddiq. Siddiq is reflection of truth in your words, in your actions, in your qualities. So this is something that we have to achieve. It's a very important achievement. It needs lots of struggle. It needs lots of exercises, lots of practices. It needs help of others. تَبَاسَوْ بِالْحَقِّ. We have to help each other. If you see I am forgetting, please remind me. If someone tells you something, please accept. This is the way that we should help each other. You know, in an exam, when people want to get ready for exam, sometimes it helps if you study together. So someone says, these are the questions which are very important. You don't say, don't speak to me, I don't want to listen to you. You want to learn, because it's an exam. You listen to everyone. Someone says, the way you are, for example, trying to solve this problem, this mathematical problem, is not correct. You accept. But when it comes to real life, unfortunately, we don't accept from people. When someone gives me advice, I don't accept. If you really want to succeed, you have to listen to each other. You have to benefit from the advice of each other. This is the only way to be saved from loss. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. This tawasi needs two things. One is to have friends, to have brothers and sisters, community members who tell me the truth. And second, to accept from them. If they feel shy and they don't tell me the truth, or if they tell me the truth and I don't accept, I fight, then it doesn't work. We need brevity and acceptance so that this can work. Okay, let us stop here. I just repeat once again the sentence that we started with. وَمَنْ كَانَتْ حَقَائِقُهُ دَعَاوِي فَكَيْفَ لَا تَكُونُ دَعَاوِيهَ دَعَاوِي. O Allah, the one whose true sayings, true words are still mixed with claims. So what about the claims that he makes? What makes him sure that his claims are true? This is the sentence that we try to understand tonight. So I decided to reflect a little bit about one of the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam, and that is Nafi', one of the people who showed his truthfulness and honesty and loyalty to Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He was a very young person, but active. Since the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam, when he was very young, very active, he took part in 3 battles at the time of Imam Ali alayhi salam. He was a writer of hadith, he was a reciter of Quran, and then he kept with Imam Ali, Imam Hassan, and Imam Hussein alayhi salam. And finally, he joined Imam Hussein alayhi salam. He left Kufa and managed to reach the camp of Imam and to be with Imam alayhi salam. One of the things that we find about him is that he was a very loyal person to Imam alayhi salam. For example, in the night before Ashura, the night of Ashura, when Imam alayhi salam has asked Hazrat Abbas with 30 riders and 20 people walking to go and bring water, they reached water. And then a person who was guard for water so that they cannot take water, called Amr ibn Hajjaj, told them, you can drink, but you cannot take water. Nafi' said, by Allah, as long as my Mawla Hussein and his companions are thirsty, I am not going to drink a drop of water. This is loyalty. Because whether they drink or not is not going to change the condition of Imam. But he said, no, it's impossible for me. You know, this is a loyalty which comes with love. It's not legal loyalty. In legal loyalty, you just take the commands. You just try to obey. But this is loyalty of heart, loyalty of love. So you say, for me, it's a betrayal to drink while my imam is thirsty. In the night of Ashura, when Imam Hussein alayhi salam went out of his tent and was going around, Nafi saw Imam and went to Imam and said, I am worried. In this dark night you have come outside, you are alone, the enemies may attack, may shoot arrow. So Imam Hussein alayhi salam told him, I have come to check everything. Imam Hussein was very careful about planning, about organizing, everything must be in order. Although he knows that tomorrow they are going to be killed, but he wanted to check everything is okay. So Imam said, I wanted to come and check everything. And then Imam told him, this is the promised night. This is the last night of my life. And this is the night that I have been promised that inshallah I will be given martyrdom. And this promise is not going to change. Then Imam alayhi salam showed Nafi some hills and some mountains in distance. And said, don't you want to use the darkness of the night and go there and save your life? It is said that Nafi at this point fell on the foot of Imam and said, I have purchased this sword with 1,000 dirham and I have purchased my horse with 1,000 dirham. As long as this sword and this horse are working, nothing can separate me from you. If I cannot fight and I am arrested or killed, then there would be separation. But when these are working, there cannot be any separation. So this is Nafi and all the beautiful things that you know about Nafi. I just wanted to recite a poem quickly about Nafi, and may inshallah Allah enable us to be with all the companions of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Salam ma be shukuh afarin bazm jalal. May our peace, my salam, to be a person who added to the glory of the camp of Hussein. Who was that person? Buzurg zade azade Nafi ibn Hilal. A man from very noble background, a man who was free man, Nafi ibn Hilal. از او که خاند حسینش ز بهترین اصحاب چگونه مد سرایم که هست ناطق لال. How can with my tongue, which is not capable of speaking, praise someone that Hussein said is one of the best companions? به نطق محکم خود شام و روز عاشورا ببرد ز آینه قلب اهل بیت ملال. With his strong words and statements in the night and day of Ashura, Nafi managed to remove worries from the family of Hussein. بگفت بی تو حسین زندگی مراست حرام. بگفت بی تو حسین زندگی مراست حرام. زی که زحمت مادر برو حلال حلال. He said, oh Hussein, it is haram for me to live after you. well done to Nafe, that all the efforts of his mother were appreciated by becoming a good son, a good human being. زبیم حمله او خصم را نبود قرار ز ضرب نیزه و تیغش عدو نداشت مجال. All the enemies were afraid of fighting Nafe. No one was safe from his sword and his spear, to the extent that they said, instead of fighting with Nafe, we should send arrows from distance to him. نوشته بود به هر چوب تیر نامش را، از آن که تا نشود ضرب دست او پامال. He had written his name on all his arrows, so that he knows which arrow is hitting whom. از آن که تا نشود ضرب دست او پامال. He didn't want any of his arrows to be wasted. پس از قتال فراوان اسیر دشمن شد، ولی نکرد تزلزل به پیش قوم زلال. After fighting severely, he was arrested by the enemies, but he didn't show any fear and humbleness to enemies. How did they manage to arrest him? شکست بود دو دستش که دست او بستند، که رشته رشته جانش ز تیغ بگسستند. They so much attacked him that they first broke his both arms, and when he was not able to fight, they arrested him and they killed him. الا لعنة الله على القوم الظالمين وسيعلم الذين ظلموا أي منقلب ينقلبون. O Allah, please send your salutations to Imam Hussein and all companions of Hussein. O Allah, please give us honest and truthful position with Imam Hussein in dunya and akhirah. Please enable us to achieve honesty and loyalty in dunya, and resurrect us as good mu'mineen on the day of judgment. Please keep us and our children generation by generation always on the right path. Please save us from any deviation, from any loss in dunya and akhirah. Please give your forgiveness, your rahmah to all the people who have passed away. Please give your rahmah to our fathers, for fathers and mothers, our teachers, those who have rights upon us and our maraj. Please give your shafa and healing to all brothers and sisters who are ill. O Allah, please save our community, please save the mourners of Hussein from anything which is bad and disliked. Please bring honor and respect and prosperity and safety and justice and peace with the advent of Imam Mahdi. Please make our Imam Zaman happy with us. Please make our Imam Zaman satisfied with our actions and words. O Allah, please make the last moment of our life the best moment of our life. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.